AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Five Americans held prisoner by Iran are in Doha after their release this morning.
Our fellow citizens are free after enduring something that I think it would be difficult for any of us to imagine.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking moments ago.
I have no higher priority than making sure that Americans who are unjustly detained anywhere can come home.
And that's expected to happen shortly. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The five will be flown from Doha to Washington, D.C., part of a complex deal with Iran that allowed for $6 billion in Iranian assets to be transferred from a restricted account in South Korea to Qatar. Five Iranians in the U.S. will be granted freedom, some of whom were not convicted.
And more on them from CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Biden administration officials described the five Iranians who would be released as nonviolent offenders who mainly violated sanctions. And I spoke with one of them who is remaining here in the U.S., Kaveh Lotfallah Afrasiabi, a political scientist charged with acting as an unregistered foreign agent. He is a U.S. permanent resident and tells CBS News he'll remain living in Massachusetts.
Hunter Biden is suing one of the government agencies that's been investigating him. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This lawsuit from Hunter Biden is against the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. He alleges they violated his privacy when two agents testified about his personal tax details during congressional hearings and interviews.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrives in the U.S. to go to the U.N. General Assembly and meet President Biden. And no doubt, they'll be talking about one big problem he left back home in Israel. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Thousands of protesters continued to demonstrate against the Israeli government's judicial overhaul. Protester Anat Rafaeli.
I'm here along with thousands of other people who are all very worried about the democracy of our country.
Netanyahu sparked a growing outcry when he accused protesters of, quote, joining forces with the PLO and Iran in their activities. Netanyahu will meet President Biden in New York and speak to the UN on Friday. Linda Gradstein for CBS News. Jerusalem.
Pennsylvania State Police say that they've recaptured nine juvenile offenders who escaped from a detention center after a riot in Morgantown, Pennsylvania last night. Minnesota Twins manager Rocco Baldelli is about to become the father of real-life twins. His wife, Allie, is expected to give birth to twin boys in the next few days. And with the baseball twins safely leading the American League Central Division, Baldelli has taken paternity leave to see the birth of the new twins. Wall Street, the Dow is up 90 points. This is CBS News.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are out of their plan to maintain American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. Pete Schwabe reports.
The GOP bill would spend more than $700 million to meet the state's obligation to keep up the Brewers Stadium through at least 2050. $400 million would come from income taxes collected from player salaries. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's best to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin.
The state of Wisconsin owns this facility. If the Brewers leave, we will continue to own this facility, so the taxpayers are on the hook, whether we like it or not.
The money will also go to winterize the stadium, so events of all kinds can be held there year-round. Voss says he's trying to rally bipartisan support and that a bill could pass as early as October. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
State lawmakers might try to encourage more young people in Wisconsin to take driver's education classes. A proposed bill would cover $6 million worth of course fees. Students who get free and reduced lunch would be eligible. The cost of driver's ed may be causing many young people to wait until they're 18 to get their licenses. At that point, they're no longer required to get formal training. Planned Parenthood is performing abortions in Wisconsin again. Lawyers for the health care clinics say that Wisconsin's 1849 ban does not criminalize abortion. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call agrees he's suing to have abortion rights fully restored in Wisconsin.
Before too long, I think there's a chance that the circuit court judge will issue a final ruling in the next few months. So hopefully we will get to a point where we have certainty here as to where things stand, and there won't be any doubt whatsoever.
Call was on Up Front on WISN-TV yesterday. Meanwhile, Senator Tammy Baldwin is working to have abortion rights codified under federal law. Her bill would also ban restrictive laws at the state level.
We cannot have a patchwork of state-to-state regulation that means that women don't have the same rights in one jurisdiction than they do in another.
That was Baldwin speaking to a recent WISP Politics luncheon. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Family Action claims abortion is still illegal in Wisconsin. No abortions had been performed here before today since the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs decision last year overturning Roe v. Wade. U.S. House Republicans want to cut the Environmental Protection Agency by 39%. As Brett Pivato reports, that would be a setback for efforts to clean up PFAS pollution.
The House Appropriations Committee's budget for fiscal year 2024 would reduce funding for the EPA by nearly $4 billion. But John Reeder with the nonprofit Environmental Working Group says in inflation-adjusted terms, the cut is much greater.
This funding level would take EPA back 50 years. It's a severe cut. It would devastate EPA.
Over the summer, the agency released an analysis of drinking water and found PFAS levels greater than the minimum reporting limit in over 400 public water supplies across the country. Brett Pivato reporting.
Blood supplies are running low and the American Red Cross is asking for donations. Blood supplies typically run low this time of year, but several natural disasters this summer are making matters worse. If you'd like to donate blood, you can get more information at the American Red Cross website. And it's open enrollment season for most health care plans. People who get their health insurance, their jobs, are urged to look into their options. Dr. Rhonda Randall of United Healthcare says you should pay close attention to coverage for specialty benefits like dental, vision, and hearing. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Mad Radio, WM.
For WFHR, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The new mural in Port Edwards celebrated with a ribbon-cutting ceremony earlier this month. The new mural is located at 211 Market Avenue in the downtown area. It's dedicated to emergency and protective services. The Port Edwards Protective Services Mural Project is still looking for donations to complete the $10,000 project. If you are interested in contributing, you can send a check to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce with community leadership in the memo line. The only Navy ship ever built, christened, and commissioned in the city it was named for is ready for open waters. Pete Schwaba has the story.
The USS Marinette was commissioned Saturday morning on the shores of the Menominee River. The commissioning means the ship has officially joined the U.S. Navy's fleet. Marinette Mayor Steve Genesot talked about what it means to the community.
Anyone in the city's got to recognize what this means for us and shows, you know, what we do, and you've got to be proud of it.
Northeast Wisconsin and 8th District U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher tells Civic Media Marinette shipbuilders should see more action if we want to keep pace with China.
So we need more ships. We're falling behind, and so we're going to be asking a lot of the shipbuilding industrial base. And it's up to us in Congress to provide the stable, predictable funding and the plan necessary to make that happen.
The USS Marinette left yesterday from Mayport, Florida, where it will be based.
St. Bronislava Holy Name Society is having their all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast on Sunday, October 1st. They will serve from 8:30 to noon. This annual pancake breakfast is cooked by the Men of Holy Name, and table service is provided by St. Bron's Boy Scout Troop 201. All proceeds go towards St. Bron's Parish, school, and youth needs. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer proclaims this week, September 17th through the 23rd, to be Constitution Week in the city, urging people to reaffirm the ideals the framers of the Constitution had in 1787. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The crisp, fall-like temperatures remain today, as highs sit below our averages, hitting into the low to mid-70s on the western half of the state and low to mid-60s near Lake Michigan and into the Northwoods. As a high-pressure system parks over Lake Superior, sunny skies will dominate the day. Mainly calm winds this afternoon will start to kick up a bit by this evening, gusting up to 20 miles per hour off of the lake and eventually turning south by tonight. This wind shift is from a low pressure that will be moving north through the Dakotas and bringing us a warm front. Eventually, highs will begin to flirt with the 80s again by midweek. However, overnight and into tomorrow morning, chances for showers and storms strike the southwestern parts of the state, spanning from La Crosse to Madison. This will bring a trace to a quarter inch of rainfall. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Packers lose to the Falcons. Good afternoon from Atlanta. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Falcons 25-24. Green Bay let a 2-touchdown lead slip away in the second half. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Very disappointed that when you have a 12-point lead in the second half and you don't make the plays that and don't play complimentary football, and then when you have mistakes, all those get magnified. And so disappointed. You got to give credit to Atlanta. They battled. And did a better job than us, obviously.
The game came down to a pair of 4th-and-1 plays late in the fourth quarter. The first was a botched quarterback sneak by Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I just messed up the operation with the cadence on that one. And so not everybody got the call to get the sneak, so I just messed that operation up right there.
What does that mean? You mess it up. Did you say something wrong? Could they not hear you?
Yeah, I said the wrong thing. So it's pretty much a not a play until I give the live word, pretty much, and I give the wrong live word on that one.
Did you just forget it, or what?
Just messed it up.
The other was the defense unable to stop rookie running back Bijan Robinson from getting a first down on 4th-and-1, allowing Atlanta to kick the go-ahead field goal.
Midway the fourth quarter, we started, you know, running the ball, bringing the DBs up and then giving some shots downfield to the receivers. You know, now they just started getting confused on what personnel was going to be out there, you know, what we were going to do, if we were going to pass it, we were going to run it. You know, you kind of felt them, you know, starting to back off.
So the Packers fall to 1-1. They host the Saints. The Falcons improve to 2-0 and take on the Lions in Detroit. Falcons head coach Arthur Smith.
One thing I want to say, it means a lot for us to win at home. And I thought our crowd has been unbelievable the last two games. And it really made a difference. Our guys fed off that energy. And so, like I said, it's a shared experience when you get into it like that, and you could feel them, especially that last drive.
College football, the Badgers beat Georgia Southern 35-14. Wisconsin improving to 2-1, but they struggled to get their run game going. Head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, that was part of the game plan. It just didn't. You know, sometimes you got to adapt and adjust. In the first half, we couldn't and didn't for whatever reason. You know, we'll go and take a good hard look at it and to see why, and you know, give them some credit. They got some 340 pounders inside there, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, I guess, early on.
Up next, the Badgers travel to Purdue to play in a rare Friday night game. Baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers won the series, but lost to the Nationals yesterday 2-1 in 11 innings. The Crew flew to St. Louis, where they open a 4-game series against the Cardinals tonight at 6:45. Craig Counsell was disappointed they didn't sweep the Nationals.
We had opportunities to win the game. Lots of at-bats with the man in scoring position, and just didn't get the next hit.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network. Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
Are you looking for help with nutrition? WFHR's current sponsor for the Kitchen's Open segment, the Southwood County YMCA, has a variety of options. Sign up for their 5-week Prevent and Thrive with Diabetes class that starts October 18th. Lunch and learn the last Wednesday of the month and watch delicious, healthy meals being prepared that you then get to eat. Visit their website, swcymca.org, to see the full list of classes and register, or call 715-818-9266.
Stoiber Healthcare would love to help you get healthy naturally. I'm Dr. Moselle Stoiber.
And I'm Dr. Erin Stoiber-Aldi. We provide gentle, expert chiropractic care for all ages.
We also offer True Weight Solutions, our doctor-supervised weight loss program, laser therapy, custom-made arch supports, and high-quality nutritional supplements.
And don't forget, we also have two amazing licensed massage therapists on staff to help you. Call Stoiber Healthcare at 715-424-4646 for an appointment today.
That's 715-424-4646.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Green. Mad Radio 92.7 programming is produced live in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Solidarity Realty, there is an alternative.
Welcome, one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers on this lovely Monday afternoon. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well, Will. Glad to be back with you on the airwaves after a very nice weekend. How about you, Mr. Zommers? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, too. I don't know if the listeners are aware or not why I was gone. I don't remember if I said it.
We said that you were up in the Northwoods. We were leaving that up to
you. That is true.
You were just up north there.
Yep. I was hunting, and I was unsuccessful. Did not see anything, except for a lot of woodpeckers. Saw a lot of woodpeckers. So, yeah, it was still a fun weekend, though. Nice to be outside.
And you were start of bow season, right?
It is, although I was actually bear hunting.
Gotcha.
No bears found by Mr. Aaron Zommers.
Not this time.
Woodpeckers were not what you were hunting. That's correct?
That is correct.
Even though you saw a lot of woodpeckers, not what you were looking for.
Yes. Oh, and I saw
no
really...
bears found in Tampa Bay either, but don't tell that to...
There were some, but
don't
they
tell
lost.
That to Hawk.
There were some, but they lost. That's all.
I don't even know if I'd say they showed up based on the fantasy points that I got out of Mike Evans. But that's a conversation for a different day. For fantasy labor locks of the week on a Thursday.
That's his one use. He brought it up on his own.
He used it up on Monday. not 2 minutes
Monday.
In.
Yeah,
a couple minutes in. starting the week on a high note. I love it. Somebody's got to do it. It might as well be me. I want to give a shout out to everybody who showed up to Willie Fest yesterday. We had a lot of fun down there. It was a ton of fun talking to people, having the opportunity to get out, share
Did
the
you
brand.
Call it Willie Fest?
Willie Street Fest. Whoops.
Willie Street Fair.
Whatever. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Guys, Will came up and he's like, parking in this town stinks. And I was like, you just got to know where to go, man. You were all discombobulated and everything. You didn't know
which
way it was.
I was very discombobulated. I got there 15 minutes early thinking like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm going to park. I'm going to waltz in, have a great time talking to everybody. It took me 30 minutes to find a parking spot. I was out of my element. But I will say once I got there, the fair itself was absolutely lovely.
Yeah,
I had a lot of fun. There is so much good food. That was the one thing that I pointed out that is, I think, incredibly unique. I shouldn't say unique to Madison because you can find this in other places too, but compared to my neck of the woods, you don't get like real street vendors with real food, local individuals that are out there trying to, you know, serve their community and just hang out and have a good time. Like, oh man, that was a breath of fresh air. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Willie Street Fair was a lot of fun. I want to thank Rebecca and the entire team putting it on. And you and I both spent some time down there at the booth yesterday. And just a tremendous time all around. Civic Media is getting out into the communities that we're broadcasting. It's not just Madison. We've been having booths around the state at different state fairs and regional street festivals just like that. So it was a lot of fun. We thank everybody that made it out anytime over the weekend.
And thanks for the conversations, everybody. I was able to meet with so many people who are fans of Civic Media, fans of the show, just able to hear their thoughts in person, give them a shout out, maybe prod them a little bit to give us a call one of these days, and they can participate in the forum themselves, 844-967-2789. But, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. Unfortunately, the Packers dropped the ball. They had the lead for most of the afternoon, blew that 24-12 fourth quarter lead. But other than that, I had a fabulous, fabulous time, Luke, and it was a lot of fun to see you and the team.
Yeah, it was a great time had by all. And we're going to be joined coming up at 12:30 by the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, going to be joining us for a conversation here on Town Call. So if you've got questions or comments about democracy, we're going to have a conversation with the new executive director for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up. So think of those questions. But between now and then, Will, let's cover what some of the folks may have missed either from the Friday or weekend news dump. And let's catch them up to speed.
Well, how about I drop a little Monday morning on you, if that's all right? A 10:43 a.m. piece over from the AP. We covered this briefly last week via the announcement, but today Planned Parenthood will be resuming abortions in Wisconsin after more than a year. Planned Parenthood resumed offering abortion services in Wisconsin on Monday, today, after halting them for more than a year since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Providers across the state stopped offering abortions following the June 2022 decision, fearing enforcement of an 1849 state law that appears to ban the procedure, but had previously been nullified by the 1973 Roe ruling. A judge ruled last month that the 144-year-old law does not apply to medical abortions. And in light of the ruling, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin began offering abortions at clinics in Madison and Milwaukee again on Monday. The group did not say how many abortions it expected to perform, but said appointments at its Milwaukee clinic on Monday were completely filled within 24 hours of announcing that services could resume.
Yeah, and so that a lot of news going on last week. That one, not one that we got to dive into deep details here on Town Call. If you've got thoughts on this announcement by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, want to share them with Will and I, 844-967-2789. What do you think about this? This is pretty monumental, as Will pointed out.
It's
from
huge.
The AP piece, something that stopped just about 15 months ago, more than just over a year now, that abortion services have not been provided in the state of Wisconsin. Again, the state thrown into legal limbo after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to overturn a nearly 50-year precedent, something that the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court declared settled law during their confirmation hearings. We heard that it would not be touched, Roe v. Wade. But as soon as there was a conservative majority interested in overturning it, the Roe v. Wade decision was tossed out in that Dobbs decision last summer. So Wisconsin, one of the states with a 144-year-old law, as the AP piece pointed out, and we did not know, because for the last 50 years there was a federal standard, and the chaos that ensued last year when all of the states had to then decide the patchwork of healthcare that the United States was going to have. Wisconsin was one of those states that providers just stopped providing abortion services because they did not know. Now, it is something that is being worked through the courts. We had the most expensive state Supreme Court race in the nation's history earlier this year to determine
the makeup
of Wisconsin's state Supreme Court to hear cases like the one working its way through the state court surrounding that 1849 law. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Abortion services being resumed at Madison and Milwaukee clinics here in Wisconsin by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Will, do you believe that there's going to be some more legal enforcement surrounding this, or what do you think is going to happen between now and that case being heard further in the state courts?
Well, the case being heard by the state court, I think, will be, that is the, I don't want to say the end-all, be-all, but that will be the defining moment of this situation going forward. And as you noted, and as we've touched on time and time and time again, that's why this Supreme Court race was not only so expensive, but so important. All eyes nationally, the country, electoral politics in the country really focused in on Wisconsin for that race. And there's a reason why, because this race would have massive, massive ramifications. One thing I do want to touch on, Luke, that the AP piece notices is that many patients over the past 15 months have sought assistance in neighboring Illinois, where abortions have remained widely available. According to Planned Parenthood of Illinois, get this, its clinics have seen a sevenfold increase in patients from Wisconsin since the Supreme Court overturned Roe. Sevenfold. These are clearly procedures that people need to have, people want to have, and if we had the right to bodily autonomy in this country, they would be able to get in their home state. But we talk about a lot of these issues, and I hate to make this comparison because abortion is so much more impactful. But something we covered in the past few weeks as well, cannabis legalization, right? How many Wisconsinites have been flocking to our neighboring states, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, to purchase legal cannabis? Why is Wisconsin not able to offer these programs and procedures to our own citizens that all of our neighbors do? Why do we keep falling further and further behind?
Yeah, and there's a question that will continue to be asked for, I believe, many residents around the entire state. If you've got thoughts on them, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Abortion services resuming at Planned Parenthood locations here in Wisconsin. Not the only newsworthy aspect that developed over the weekend as well, Will. We're going to dive into it a little bit further coming up. But we've also got a proposed plan to spend quite a bit of public money on a stadium upgrade for the Milwaukee Brewers. So this is a subject that we've discussed here again on Town Hall, but a very eventful weekend. Not just civic media, hanging out at the Willie Street Fair. A lot of newsworthy aspects going on over the last couple of days. If you've got thoughts and want to share them on this or a number of topics, we want to hear them here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. Will, did you see the proposal for the what the Republican lawmakers are suggesting we do for American Family Field and the Brewers?
I did, Luke. According to multiple sources within state and local government, a $700 million bill funding renovations and maintenance at AmFam was slated to be released, and I believe it was in fact released this morning. Was it not?
As far as I'm aware, I saw the proposed release, but I did not see whether or not it was actually discussed and unveiled by the Republican lawmakers. But I believe it was scheduled to be so, and I did not hear anything otherwise.
Yes, I'm double checking that. I believe it was, but give me a second to confirm that.
Okay. But yeah, $700 million. That's a lot. Pretty sure most of the new stadiums, for major league sports teams around the country that are building from scratch are like $1 billion now. And they want $700 million just to be able to do the renovations at American Family Field. Seems like it's an interesting, this number, I don't understand how it's gotten so inflated. It was $100 million renovations at first, then it was $300 million, and now it's $700 million that the Republican lawmakers are proposing between local, state, and from the Brewers organization itself to fund these renovations. I don't quite understand how it got that high.
Monday morning, following months of debate and years of consideration, Wisconsin's Republican leaders gathered at AmFam Field to unveil their $700 million proposal to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin through 2050. As part of the agreement, the Brewers organization itself agreed to invest $100 million. Furthermore, the proposal won't include any additional funding from the average Wisconsin taxpayer, instead using tax money from players' salary to generate funding while also pulling investments at the city and county level, according to WTMJ. But if only $100 million of the $700 million is coming from the Brewers itself, that means that's a lot of our tax dollars. A
lot of money. We're going to continue to discuss the headlines and have a conversation with the new executive director for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, joining us here on Town Call. If you've got questions for us, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes. From loss of hope, to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 71 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows level off around 50. Overcast again tomorrow, highs level off around 73. Low 80s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
Favorite shows and hosts are active on social media, too. Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text. 844-967-2789.
We are joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, the headquarters for Civic Media, by the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. How are we doing today, Nick?
Man, I'm not the biggest fan of Mondays, but I'm glad that the sun is out, and I'm glad that it's not too hot outside right now.
Yeah. Okay, so you're kind of vibing the end of summer here. I've been standing that it's still summer, and everybody wants to already jump to fall. And I'm like, I love fall, but I don't need to get there too fast. You're on the other side of that argument?
Absolutely. I'm a big windows open, 70 degree weather kind of guy. Break out the flannel, break out the jeans, pumpkin spice everything. Like,
wait, hold up. Windows open 70 degrees. Like, that's summer. That sounds weather. Like Wisconsin summer to me. That's not fall.
Oh, man. The humidity is gone. Like, okay. Come on, guys. Garrett, I mean, it does.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It cools off. Like, I'm just saying, like, in the evenings when it's like 50, 60 degrees, I can have the windows open. You know, I'm not pumping the AC. Like, that's what it's all about.
I'm an early morning riser. It was in the 40s this morning when I woke up. I was like, that's a little too chill. That's too cool this morning. But we're glad to be joined by you here in the studio. Our friend of the show, Matt Rothschild, outgoing executive director, retired earlier this year for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, came on a lot to discuss what was going on with the organization and efforts to defend democracy here in Wisconsin. What can you tell us about what the organization's been up to and your new direction of the organization as the new executive director?
It's a great question. I'll have a disclaimer at the beginning of it just to say that I've been in this job for about a month now. I celebrate the 1 month anniversary here on the 21st.
Okay. So coming up this week.
That's right. So a lot of it's been trying to see just what the roadmap was prior to me. And Matt has held it down for the Democracy Campaign since 2015. The organization's existed since 1995, and there's only been four total executive directors. And so, you know, I've been studying a lot about what they've done in their 10 years and just thinking about this word democracy and thinking about just how general and big the word is, because it takes us to so many different places. And we want, at the end of the day, to make sure that there's legislation and that there's rules in place to be able to provide an equal playing field for everybody. And so when I first got to sit in the big chair as executive director, one of the first things that came across my desk was this piece of legislation that Melissa Agard and Jimmy Anderson presented about anti-SLAPP legislation. And so for those who are unfamiliar with what SLAPP even means, because I learned about it, at least the formal terminology for it, my first day on the job, SLAPP stands for Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation. So I guess the most like famous example of that I can think of that a lot of people remember is former President Donald Trump. He was pretty serious about his tax returns being released, and the New York Times were reporting upon his tax returns, ended up writing an entire article about it, and Donald Trump did not like that very much. He sued the New York Times to try and put a quash on that very article from coming out. It was basically like a tactic to terrorize and interrogate. Well, not interrogate, but to scare. Yeah, intimidate. Right. And the state of New York had a legislation in place to protect organizations and people from expressing their First Amendment rights. And so that suit got thrown out. They looked at the case. They said it was frivolous, that, you know, it basically a scare tactic. So the New York Times was able to get punitive damages and able to essentially released the article. And so Wisconsin's one of 19 states that does not have any anti-SLAPP legislation on the books. This particular legislation, I think it would get bipartisan support. I mean, we want to protect individuals like you and me, as well as media outlets, from being able to, you know, report on the truth and not be afraid that some deep-pocketed individual is going to sue the crap out of us. And so
sue the pants off of these local media outlets. And it's an instance that we're seeing here in Wisconsin unfold right now. For those listening up in the Wausau area, Bull Falls Radio WXCO in north central Wisconsin, there is a case playing out right now between a small local media outlet that is integral. Our local media outlets here at Civic Media, we are revitalizing hometown radio across the state of Wisconsin. But news outlets around the state that are not the giant ones like, say, the New York Times, they can be subject to these lawsuits. And the Wausau Pilot and Review experiencing that right now with a lawsuit. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? If you're familiar, and what this legislation would mean for smaller outlets like the Pilot and Review?
Yeah. So I know that there is a current elected who wasn't in the legislature at the time, but there was a situation during a public meeting, I believe it was a county board meeting. There was, I believe, some homophobic slurs that were used by this particular elected. The Wausau
against a teenager, by the way.
Yeah. And the Wausau pilot reported on that, and this particular elected then sued the Wausau pilot. At the circuit court level, the case ended up not going in favor of the elected official and actually went in favor of the Wausau pilot. However, the elected official then appealed it, and right now we're currently seeing that play out, and I know that there was a GoFundMe that was created for the Wausau pilot because, I mean, I'm an attorney. I can tell you right now, legal proceedings cost money, tons of money, tons of time, tons of energy.
Especially when they get reviewed, then all of a sudden you've already, that's like a secondary set of all of those bills coming back because somebody was, rightfully so. I mean, it's important to be able to have your case appealed if you don't believe it's been heard fairly, but at the same time, it can sometimes... appealing and appealing and appealing is a tactic that some of these people will use to say, okay, well, we're just going to be able to tie you up in court with these legal bills because we can pay.
Right.
There's our wealthy individuals out there where it is not that big of a problem for them to write the check when it comes to these lawsuits. But for an outlet like the Wausau Pilot Review, we see media outlets across the state and the country that are reporting on the events of their community are being priced out of the markets. And so just to have this added cost onto an already very difficult business model, it's very telling that this is what some state, one of 19 states, Wisconsin is, that does not have this on the books to be able to protect outlets like that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very nice to be able to showcase the fact that we have something that protects not only the media, but like, let's say in a sense, you're living in an apartment complex and you end up getting bed bugs in that apartment complex. And then you go on Google and you decide you want to share that with the world that like, this is pretty awful. And then your landlord sees it. And then they're like, you know what? We're going to sue them so that they try and remove this thing. This thing's getting a lot of traction. We don't want the world to know that we have bed bugs. And it's like for middle class, lower class, I don't care what class you are. I don't have tens of thousands of dollars laying around so I could go to court and then be able to try and protect myself from just literally just telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so I really think anti-SLAPP legislation, we see it across the country, have a ton of bipartisan support. I think no matter what kind of media outlet you are, right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter. Like, I think these types of protections need to be in place for everybody.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We are joined by the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. And if you've got a question for Nick or Will and I, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Nick, no shortage of Wisconsin headlines we see, unfortunately, not just here for the local outlets. Some of the national and international outlets, Will found a piece over at The Guardian talking about how central Wisconsin is to the political universe. Will, you want to share that headline and a little bit about the piece over at The Guardian?
I would love to. So the piece over at The Guardian titled, "What Republicans Are Doing to Wisconsin is a Warning Sign to All Americans. The state's so gerrymandered that Republicans can lose the popular vote and win supermajorities. Now they want to impeach a liberal justice before she's ruled on a single case." This is obviously the story of the past month, speaking specifically to the potential recusal of Janet Protasiewicz regarding the maps. This has received extensive coverage, not just at the state level, but at the national level. As we're highlighting here with this piece from The Guardian, they note that the Republicans' party's problems with democracy extend far beyond the antics of Donald Trump. You can look no further than Wisconsin to prove that. A battle is underway, which began well before the January 6th insurrection and will do much more to determine the future of democracy in America. Because of the incredibly aggressive gerrymandered maps, Republicans appear set to do all they can to prevent the Supreme Court from having the ability to review the maps. What can regular citizens do to either make their voices heard or to impact this?
Wow.
just a little loaded question.
There's a lot to unpack in there. Well, let me just play it back a little bit and then I'll answer your question. You're right. I mean, people were telling me before I ended up taking the helm as executive director, this was going to be a quiet time, and boy, were they wrong.
Who told you it was going to be a quiet time? Because I would love to talk to those people.
I had several people be like, oh, it's a great time for you to start here at the Democracy Campaign. You know, there's no elections coming
up. There's nothing going on.
Nothing going on. Yeah, right. Been up late night just about every week.
Busy first month on the job, I would imagine.
I mean, we've been, unfortunately, the focus across the country as far as just what's going on with not only our Supreme Court, but just taking a real good look as far as the gerrymandered maps that we have here in Wisconsin. I've been saying this a lot. It is kind of absurd to me that we have a Supreme Court justice that was sworn in August 1st, hasn't heard a case yet, and we're already talking about throwing this person out and impeaching them. And I think it's just kind of shown you why, like, how toxic our democracy has become in this state. The fact that we have a real look at the maps that have been very hyper-partisan since at least 2011 now. And we can see that the legislature here, which is controlled by Republicans, want to hold on to, you know, the very power that they've been given because of these maps. And I think there's a real fear that if the Supreme Court hears the case that's in front of it, that the maps are going to get thrown out. And that's why we see, like this previous week, there was a redistricting bill that was announced and shared with the world. But unfortunately, there was no public input. There was nobody besides the elected officials that ended up drafting this thing. We haven't had an opportunity to be able to give testimony, to be able to really look at the ins and outs of this particular redistricting bill. They've been saying a lot of things as far as this is the Iowa model. And I've got a lot of problems with that because, one, the Iowa model allows for judicial review. I've read this bill up and down more times than I care to admit. And we look at just the levels of, okay, the first two maps, as far as this particular bill, they get voted up or down. There's no opportunity for the legislature to amend those bills. On the third try, there is an opportunity for the legislature to amend them. However, in previous bills, a third try, there needs to be a 3/4 vote by each house in the legislature. In the current bill that's in front of us today, a simple majority, if there's 50 plus one, at least one Democrat or one Republican. It has to be bipartisan, but it's a simple majority. So the bar is a lot lower. And it's just hard for me to rack my brain around if we're going to actually sit here and say that a map is going to be bipartisan to then bring the threshold down from 3/4 of each house to a simple majority. And you just need maybe one Democrat or one Republican on either side to be able to then pass it. I mean, gerrymandering and redistricting is complicated enough, so I don't need to get into the weeds here, but I think everybody can get on board with the fact that we would like an opportunity to be able to give our input and talk with them about the bill.
Absolutely, and you can give your input here with the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, joining us here on Town Call. Give us a call, send us a text, 844-967-2789. We're going to continue the conversation with Nick when we return.
Severe weather hits and the power goes out. Do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 71. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 50. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 73. Low 80s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 66.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Downloaded wherever your apps are downloaded on your smart device, either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Just type in Civic Media. It's quick, easy, and free. You can download the app, listen to the show wherever you go, jump from station to station, and interact with all of the programming right from the app, call or text. You can also do it the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. Nick, you were going over how not necessarily the same. Just one thing that I've been saying since this proposal, it was pretty shocked because it came out of nowhere. Like, as you've noted, zero public input. There was not a public hearing. It got brought to the floor of the State Assembly pretty rushed last week.
I think about 48 hours of announcement, I believe.
No.
I think it was even less than that. Like, I think it was less than 2 days.
I'm being too generous giving him 2 days?
I think you were being too generous giving him 48 hours, but I could be wrong.
Well, we learned about it on Tuesday, and then they put it on the floor on Thursday. So.
Okay.
That's what I remember, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like late Tuesday, and then like earlier on Thursday. So I don't know if they quite.
11:59 on Tuesday.
I don't think they hit the 48-hour threshold. Is all I'm saying. Right. It wasn't two full days. It may have been two calendar days, but we didn't get any public input. We've seen though, when there is public input on the way that the state draws the maps, that there are very little, if any, supported. According to my recollection, Will, when the public hearings for the maps that we currently have, I don't think anybody spoke in favor of them besides Voss and Lemahue during the process for the maps that we currently have. And just
yes,
because they're,
I believe so.
Just because they're calling them the Iowa model doesn't make it the Iowa model, Nick. And I believe Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has been bringing light on the redistricting process throughout the 2011 and on, and discussing this process that we have. What can you tell us about the organization's stance on these maps and a little bit further about what is going to be done now that this proposal is being floated around the State House?
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, gentlemen, could I provide some context to what Nick said before? So this is not just Nick or myself or Luke or Town Call saying that the Wisconsin proposal doesn't match the Iowa model. This is Iowa State Auditor Rob Sand, as well as former Republican Party of Iowa Chairman Mike Mahaffey, who released the following statement, quote, "We are proud of Iowa's record on nonpartisan redistricting and appreciate being a model for other states who believe in moving toward fair legislative maps. However, the proposal currently in front of the Wisconsin legislature cannot be accurately called the Iowa model because it lacks the elements that have been the foundation for our system's success. The clearest and most consequential difference is that Wisconsin's proposal rejects our system of judicial review. In Iowa, the legislature has limited opportunities to accept or reject the maps drafted by legislative staff. If lawmakers fail to reach a consensus, the maps are drawn by the Iowa Supreme Court and enacted. Our process works, which is why the legislature has always found agreement instead of sending the process to the court. The Iowa model cannot be replicated by cherry-picking elements from it." Unquote. Exactly what you noted before. You can call it the Iowa model all you want, but the people in Iowa who have worked within this system are telling us, no, this is not the Iowa model.
Amen, man. You're preaching and it's Monday. I tell you what. But it's true. I mean, look, for the Democracy Campaign, the most important thing to us at the end of the day is a nonpartisan process. I can't stress that enough. And so if this piece of legislation gets to a place where it's truly nonpartisan, it's something that we could ultimately support. But at the end of the day, there's just the way I read it, unfortunately, it does leave it to the legislature at the end to be able to change it up in such a way where we can really get a hyper-partisan map again. And so my thing is that, okay, I think it's great. Even though you guys rushed it, even though you did all this stuff behind closed doors and now you're presenting it to us, at least it is a step in the right direction. But boy, you really want to get input from organizations that have been doing this work for years, then you need to be willing to bring us to the table and be able to get input from us instead of it's you being a doctor self-diagnosing us about this situation that we've been fighting for decades now. So bring everybody to the table and let's have a conversation about what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. And if it is to get a nonpartisan map, then sign me up. I mean, we're a nonpartisan nonprofit. We don't get, like, if this were the Democrats doing this, we would be challenging them too. So right now we have a party in power that has a supermajority in one part of the House. I mean, one part of the legislature, and we also have a majority in the other one. They're right now calling the plays on this one, and it's like we want an opportunity on the nonpartisan side to be able to have a conversation about this bill.
Yeah, and that's been something that it at least from the instance that I watched when it came to the redistricting process from after the 2020 census, it seemed like there was individuals that wanted to get input. There were organizations like the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign that were going out and talking to residents across the state of Wisconsin, trying to get the input of how to make the maps. We saw the People's Maps Commission mm-hmm. be put together by,
which I was a part of,
by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And that was, again, another proposal to try to get that input. It seems like this was a very quick about face by Republicans in at least the state assembly, because we don't even really know where the state Senate stands on this, and that is the body that has the supermajority that you just mentioned.
That's right.
And so there is a 22-11 supermajority in the state Senate. We don't know where the lawmakers in that body stand on this issue, but it didn't seem like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was super interested in getting the input. He just wanted to put it out there and have it covered like it was the Iowa model when you dive into the details, it doesn't actually seem to be that. Why can't we have a Wisconsin model that we here in our state come up together with and get all of that input? Why is that not being asked for? Or is that what you're hearing from members of your organization and the groups that you work with?
Well, just to circle back to Speaker Voss, I mean, he did kind of kick the can for the Senate and said, yeah, there'll be an opportunity for public hearings when the Senate takes it up. And and I don't know. I don't really know as far as like what the logistics of that are going to look like, but there's potential for public input. So we will see. I definitely hear you 100%. I think there needs to be a model that gets tailored to Wisconsin if we're going to go that route, instead of trying to cherry pick other models. Like, let's talk about something that actually fits what we need here in Wisconsin to achieve the most fair, nonpartisan maps. And I just think it's interesting. I mean, there's just a lot going on, and this impeachment part of it, I think that's why we're seeing the bill right now.
Interesting. Well, Nick Ramos, so glad that you could join us here on Town Call, new executive director for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, we're going to have you come back and continue this conversation, because I think you're right. There's a lot of focus that needs to be on democracy here in Wisconsin. Folks, we'll be back with Town Call tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up